John chapter 17. I want to read the first 8 verses of John. This is the word of the Lord that we read together, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus had said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." Would you pray with me, please? Father, add the blessing of your presence and of your smile upon your word as we break the bread of life now. Lord, open our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Lord, give us renewed and continued faith to know you, the one true God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're continuing to process all that we went through in our trip to Israel. I looked back on my message last week and the slides that I showed you, and I realized that there was just so much that I didn't even speak of. I didn't even touch on so much that I would have loved to have shared with you. And again, as thought about our experiences, there's so many people in Israel from all over the world. If you think America is a melting pot, man, you or really perhaps it's a better term is a stew pot, because so many folks in America, they come together and they retain their ethnicity, they retain their identity, and that is such the case in Israel. In fact, even right in Old Town Israel, there's 4 different quarters. There is the Jewish quarter. There is the Christian quarter. There is the Armenian quarter. And there is, I've lost the quarter, help me out. The Muslim, thank you. Muslim corner. That's just right in the Old Town City. I remember one day as we were going through some of the touring, I counted, and there was people from 10 different nations right there gathered around us. People from Malaysia, people from China, people from South Africa, people from Holland. We had individuals that had come up from Ethiopia, and they wanted to see the things that were set up to commemorate the places that our Lord Jesus Christ had been. It was amazing. It was an amazing time. And again, the thing that struck me is that many people in Israel are very religious. They know a lot of information, and they know a lot of history. Our tour guide was a man who was very, very educated. He had actually served in the IDF, the Israel Defense League, or IDL, I guess, I'm not sure. But he had served with them. And had gone to school to be a tour guide. You actually have to be licensed in Israel to be a tour guide. And he's very, very knowledgeable about history. he knew some things of the Scriptures. There were some things where he was getting Scripture and church tradition a little bit mixed up. And there was a couple of times he asked me. I tried not to correct him. I didn't want to come across like, you know, I'm trying to correct you all the time. There was a couple of times he asked me, and so I told him. But as I shared with you last week, we asked Hisham, or Caesar was our tour guide's name, we asked him if he knew the Lord Jesus. And he said no. We asked him if he was a Christian, and he said no. See, he knew a lot of information. He knows a lot of history. He could show you all of the special places in Israel, all of the different churches, all of the sites that commemorate the different things of the faith, both Christian and Muslim, and perhaps even more in Jewish sites as well. But I wonder if he really knew God. I wonder. And I wonder how many people there in Israel who know so much about the history of Israel, but do they know God? As I shared with you, there were several places where we went. One of them was King David's tomb. And as we went up, there's very limited, very tight quarters. There were Hasidic Jews that were reading Torah. And I guess it's part of their responsibility to be there at that site and to read Torah, the law, out of the Hebrew Bible for particular periods of time. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't real impressed with the tomb. I mean, it's a big room with a rock in it, or, you know, a sepulcher in it. Okay. But what it represents, of course, is God's faithfulness to Israel, God's faithfulness to King David, that his line continued. As we walked into that room, there were several Hasidic Jews, and by Hasidic, I mean the ones that are ultra-Orthodox. So they wear all black, and they have the earlocks of hair. They don't shave that. They wear a black hat. They're very unfriendly. They're very unfriendly. In fact, is Kathy Miser here today? No, she's not here. She was just being friendly. She wanted to take a picture, so she went up to a gentleman, and she, you know, put her hand on his arm and said, "Could I take your picture?" He said, "Don't touch me." Well, first of all, she's a woman. Second of all, she's Goyim, which means Gentile, and she's unclean in his eyes. And so you're not to touch him because, of course, he's holy. You know, he believes that he's so holy and set apart. So with all of that, reading the Torah, knowing the history of Israel, but my question remains, do you know God? Do you know this one true God? Do you know Him? And that's the main point of my message this morning. I ask that question of you. You may know a lot about God. Maybe you've been to church all your life, or perhaps this is something new for you and you're hearing it the first time. Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with Him? Are you daily interacting with Him, allowing Him to speak to you through His Word? Don't miss it. This is what Jesus has for us. We're told here, and it's the main part of my message, that Jesus, God's Son, was sent to earth that we may know the one true God. We know Him through Christ, and He gives us eternal life. Do you know Him? I'm not talking about knowing about Him. I'm not talking about knowing merely Bible verses, which is a good thing. It's good to know Bible verses. I remember growing up early, young years in the United Methodist Church in Herbertsville, New Jersey. And they were having a contest. Easter was coming. And they said, who could memorize and recite from memory the 23rd Psalm, you're going to get this 3-foot tall chocolate bunny. Well, man, I wanted that bunny. It looked like it was solid chocolate, but it ended up being hollow. I knew that because I ate most of it. I learned the 23rd Psalm. I memorized it. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to memorize Scripture. David cries out in Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The Holy Spirit takes that word and He brings it to our remembrance. And so when we're about to sin, we're about to do something that we know we shouldn't, and that the scriptural principle pops up in our mind, or perhaps that memorized Bible verse says, thou shalt not. You are not to do that. Turn away from evil, says the Lord. And whatever the Scripture may be. But it's more than that. It's more than just knowing a Scripture. It's more than just memorizing a Scripture. Do you know Him? Do you know the one true God? He wants to know you. Listen, why would He send His Son, Jesus Christ, who says these words to us, if He didn't want us to know Him? He wants us to know Him. He wants us to dwell in His presence, daily be in His presence, and be filled with His love. I appreciated our good word that our brother Roger brought to us while I was away. Are we filled with His love? Do we know His love? You won't know His love. You can't know His love unless you know Him and you are daily dwelling in His presence. You see, it's a supernatural thing. It's supernatural. Let me show you. This is what Jesus wants for us. We're told that the Father gave us to Jesus Christ so that we can know God. We can know God through Christ. Well, let's try to break this down in a few minutes that we have together. One of the things I want you to see, first of all, is that God is one. There's one true God. We have to understand that. We as Christians, in the Christian faith and following the revelation of Jesus Christ, we do not worship three gods. We worship one God. Now, we understand from the Scripture that He eternally exists as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not three gods. It's not three different entities, if you will. No, no. It's one God. But He eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the way, you don't often hear me use the word Trinity. Number one, it's not a scriptural term, and I don't have any issue with it, but it's not a scriptural term. And I know there has been a lot of criticism against the Christian church with that word. Number one, because it's not a scriptural term. And so I don't necessarily use that word. But we must understand that God is one, and there is no other God beside Him. He is one. Let's see it in Scripture together. Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 11, and Tammy Nielsen is going to read that Scripture for us.
You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me.
Would you read go back to verse 10 and read it again, please?
You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me.
There is one God.
God. Over and over again in Isaiah, it actually says that. Isaiah proclaims this truth, this revelation. There is one God. Why? Because the people of Israel were living in the midst of people who were polytheistic. They worshiped many gods. You remember when Israel was down in Egypt, they had numerous gods. And the thing of it is, they're not really true gods. They're just things that people made up. They made stones of idols, carved wooden statues of idols. In the day that Jesus lived, you had both the Greek and the Roman pantheon, many, many, many different kinds of gods. And in the midst of this, God wants his people, you and me, just as in the day of Israel, wants us to know that he is the one God, the one true God. There is no other. But he has revealed himself and his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may know him. We may know the one true God. One of the things we noticed with the people there in Israel, the people especially in Jerusalem, is that they won't pronounce God's name. They consider God's name so holy that they don't pronounce it. So they will speak of the Almighty. They will speak of the Holy One. But they won't use the word God. Of course, in the Hebrew, there's several different names for God or words for God. And the most common is Elohim. When they do the Shema, the call to Israel, the word for God is Elohim. They won't pronounce that name because they believe God is so holy that we ought not to even pronounce his name. Well, it's interesting when we read the scriptures, Exodus chapter 3, when Moses asks God his name, he says, "Who is it that's sending me?" God explains and reveals to Moses, he uses the word Yahweh. Sometimes it's commonly called Jehovah. But the best pronunciation of that Hebrew word is Yahweh. And God reveals that. He says, "This is the name by which you are to know me." Now, makes sense to me. I'm a simple person that if God gives you his name and says, "This is the name that you are to know me. This is the name by which all generations to come shall know me," that's the name that we should know God by, and that's the name we should use. There doesn't seem any issue there to me. I'm a simple guy. But the Jews won't pronounce his name. He's so holy that they won't pronounce it. What's my point? My point is, how can you know such a holy God? How can you come into the presence of such a holy God? In fact, in their temple worship, you know that only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, that inner place where once a year they did the atonement sacrifice. And only the high priest could go in. No one else was allowed. And you had to be prepared spiritually. In fact, they tied a rope around the ankle of the high priest and they put bells on his ankles. You know why? Anybody want to know why? Okay. If they stopped hearing the bells tinkle, or jingle, I guess is a better word. They could drag him out without going in because it sounded like that sucker's dead. And they could drag him out. Because if he wasn't prepared spiritually, if he hadn't confessed sin properly, and he went into God's presence, he would die. How can you have a relationship with such a one true God who is holy, is so apart, and so other from us? That's where the Jewish people were. Well, Moses could have a relationship with God. We're told Moses spoke with God face to face. Abraham had a relationship with God. Abraham interacted with God. God spoke to him and said, "Go. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And through you, all nations on the earth will be blessed. And those that bless you, I will bless. And those that curse you, I will curse." That's why we pray and bless Israel every week. Amen? We bless Israel. We support Israel because God has blessed them. And he has said, any nation, any person that curses Israel, they will be cursed. And so, we're told that God has sent his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that we may know the one true God. We may know him. Number one, we read in these verses here that Jesus brought glory to the Father by revealing the Father to us. This is point number one. Jesus brought glory to the Father by revealing God the Father to us and providing a way for us to know him. Over and over again, Jesus spoke of His Father. Jesus spoke how the Father had sent Him. The Father had given Him work to do. He must be about His Father's business. Even at the age of 12, when He went back to Jerusalem at the temple and stayed there. Remember, His family left, and Jesus stayed at the temple. When they came back, His mother was upset with Him and said, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Why have you stayed here?" Do you remember Jesus' words? "I must be about my Father's business." Jesus knew the Father intimately. In fact, we're told here in verse 5 that Jesus was with the Father before the world began. He had the glory, shared the same glory with the Father before the world began. Think about that for a second. Before the world began, Jesus, the Son, was with the Father. Around that one. It's hard to comprehend. And we're told that the Word, which is another reference to God the Son, the Word became flesh and lived among us, dwelled among us. This Word, God the Son, became flesh, put on flesh like you and me, and lived among us. Why? So He could reveal the Father. Now watch this. This word revealed, very interesting word. It means to make known what is unknowable by natural means. Jesus came to reveal the Father. It means He came to reveal to you and to me what we could not by natural means know. You and I can't know God in our natural self. Why? Because we're sinful. Because we're human. God is spirit. And those that worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must know God through the Spirit. God is spirit. Well, we are flesh. By the way, this is one of the reasons that we have such trouble knowing and interacting God. Because we're flesh. And God is spirit. And we must interact with Him spiritually. Oh, but there's so many things that fight against that, that mitigate against that. We were talking about this in men's group Tuesday night. You go to pray, you go to read the Bible, and you start perhaps to read something from the Bible, and all of a sudden your thoughts go off on something you have to get done. You begin to pray and your mind wanders. I see many heads shaking. You're left with that running dialogue that never seems to stop in your own head. And the things that constantly go through us. By the way, that's the reason that we sleep. We sleep so that our brain won't overload. Because it just is constantly running. It's constantly running. It's a supercomputer. It really is. But even as incredible and complicated that we are, that our brain is, we cannot know God apart from Him revealing Himself to us. You can't know Him. That's why there are many people, they can read this whole thing. They can read the Word of God and still come away with no faith. History is replete with people that knew the Bible, but they did not know God. And Jesus revealed the Father to us, that which we could not know by natural means. You see, it's supernatural. Again, it's supernatural. This word to know God means to understand, to perceive Him, to have such knowledge that we act upon it. We act upon it. Later on, John the Apostle writes his letters to the church. Probably wrote them in the 90s. You know, it's probably about 50 or so years later after he writes his gospel, or perhaps 40 years, depending on the date with which John wrote the gospel. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he writes something that he wants us to grasp about the one true God. Bruce Gordon is going to read that scripture for us, 1 John 1, 1 through 3.
that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Would you go back to verse 1 for me, Randy? I want you to see this. It's very important that we see this. This one true God who is other, he is so apart from us, holy and spirit. He sends his Son, and John the Apostle says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? And that we have what? And that we have looked at and our hands have what? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. You see, there was a heresy going on in that late part of the century that Jesus wasn't really physical. He was just a spirit. And his physical body was just a phantom. It wasn't really true. Because, you see, flesh is evil. So how could God's Son have flesh? They didn't understand the miraculous virgin birth. But John wants us to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came so that we can know him. He enabled us to know God. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants us to know him, and he wants us to walk in relationship with him. And number two, Jesus has been granted authority, which means the right, the power, the ability to give us eternal life when we believe. He gives it to us. We don't earn it. We don't somehow deserve it. We don't try to attain to it. It's not something that you hope maybe you can get it next year. No, today is the day of salvation. If you don't know him, you can know him. It's your privilege to know him. God invites you to know him. And our faith is merely a response to God's invitation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know God. Or perhaps you wonder, do I know him? Do I really know him? Well, you don't need to wonder anymore. You don't need to question whether you know God or not. You can know him. How? By receiving and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know God. That's Jesus' promise. He knows the Father gave many believers to him. And he says, I reveal you to them, and they believed. Have you believed? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ by which you will know God? We must put our faith in Christ, and by this we will know God. He brings it about. It's supernatural. You might say to me, Pastor, I started reading the Bible at the beginning of this year, and I've been trying to read through the Bible. That's great. By the way, you don't try to read the Bible like a novel. It doesn't work that way. We read the scriptures, and then we must meditate upon it. What does this mean? And God, what does it mean to me? Open my mind by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the spiritual truth here. We must put our faith in God. And it tells us that when we believe, he gives us eternal life. What is eternal life? It's Zoe life. The word Zoe means unending life, perpetual life. You see, it's not about when we die. It starts now. And I live in relationship with my Father. I love that old hymn. I believe we've done it here many times. I come to the garden alone. When, I think it's when the dew is still on the what? Thank you. I love that chorus part. It says, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? Beautiful hymn. Because it speaks of me walking and knowing my Father through Jesus Christ. So I come back to the question, do you know him today? And if you say, yes, Pastor, I know him, are you daily dwelling in his presence? Are you fellowshipping with him? Are you reading his word so that he can speak to you? So that he can tell you, you are my own. You are my own. It's so easy to rush into the day and not to take time that we need to be with our Father, isn't it? It's so easy. Schedules are so full. We live in such a hectic, frenetic life. But this is the most important thing. I end with that story that is told us in the scripture about Martha and Mary. Do you remember it? Jesus came to their house to fellowship with them and to teach. And Martha and Mary, it's their house, and Martha's busy preparing. She gets distracted. She says, you know, there's lots of people here. And I think she must have had the gift of hospitality because she wanted to prepare. She wanted things to be right. And she got a little irritated with her sister Mary because Mary was just sitting there at Jesus' feet, listening and taking it all in. And she got so irritated, she got so frustrated, she went to Jesus. She said, Jesus, tell Mary to come help me. That's pretty bold, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is teaching. And she gets so frustrated, she says, Jesus, would you tell my sister to come help me? I got dishes to prepare. I got food to put out, bagels and lox and sour cream. And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you've missed it. That's my translation. You've missed it. There's one thing that's important, and Mary has found the best. There's many things that try for our attention, but Mary has found the best. Is that us? Is that you this morning? There's many, many things in your life, but are we holding strongly onto the best? Time with our Father, the one true God. He wants to know you, and he wants to fellowship with you every day. If you don't know him, if you can't honestly say, I know God through Jesus Christ, at the end of the service, we invite you, come on up. Let us talk with you. Let us encourage you and show you how to invite Jesus Christ into your life. We're not going to have a long, drawn-out altar call, but if you really want to know that, we have people that will be glad to pray with you and show you how to take those steps of invitation to know God. Maybe you've gotten off track and you need to rededicate. Just like that service last night, I was overwhelmed with the people that want to know God. Do you want to know him? You see, there's a cost. We have to invest. We have to surrender and give our lives to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray you will take my words and make them very real in people's hearts. May it be revelation knowledge to them. Open our hearts, Lord, to know you. Lord, we want to know you. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. I want to know you more. Father, open our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may know you, the one true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. And as I said, if you need to come and have some prayer, if you need to come make an altar before the Lord, you do that. Amen? Amen. Lord, bless your people. Send us out into this world to share this wonderful message, and we know you, the one true God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other.